you don't have your health, what do you have?
You are a functional medicine doctor.
Join us as we blend modern and ancient wisdoms to be well now.
Oh, welcome everyone to the Be Well Now podcast.
It's time to celebrate.
I think so.
I don't know how many podcasts deep we are, but we are the Be Well Now podcast. I'm Nick, the curious patient.
I'm Dr. Ron Dumar. And we're here to celebrate today.
We're here to celebrate. The science of celebration.
Yes.
Why is it important, Dr. Ron Dumar, that we really emphasize celebration in our life?
You know, I think celebration is actually key and pivotal to us actually progressing forward in a beneficent way to our community and to ourselves.
Why?
And I would say, from a science standpoint, when you look at what celebration does for the body, it actually promotes overall health and well-being. It will release when you celebrate or even just begin to recognize what you've created in your life, something that you did that was notable. And I don't mean like notable as in you and Winston Churchill sat down to plan the next, you know, plan the next raid or anything like that. I mean notable in the sense that I did a good thing. I did something that was difficult, or I overcame a fear, or I pushed myself beyond a boundary that I didn't think was previously possible. Those type of can be little steps in your life, but they should be celebrated and recognized by you. And when you recognize them, your brain actually releases endorphins. So you release endorphins like oxytocin, dopamine. Things like that are released by your body and you feel good. Your body has a rush of good, beneficial feelings that motivate you to look forward and achieve more things in your life.
So this is a podcast about preserving health and happiness all year round.
Yes.
And we're in the middle of winter. I would call this the bleak midwinter. And we were chatting before the podcast about just giving ourselves a little grace. Like winter is tough.
Yeah.
We're recording this on a winter morning and it's early, it's dark out, and it's not easy sometimes to get going. And I don't know, the way you approach care with your patients isn't just about the numbers on a blood draw, right? Or the symptoms of a cough, right? Like the whole body is important. So why emphasize this? Like we can be our own worst enemy. So I guess, yeah, talk about...
Well, it's easy to find yourself, especially in the middle of winter, it's easy to get yourself into a slump. Some people find themselves
totally
in a little slump, whether it's a little depression or just, is winter really upon us? I don't know if I can do all this darkness and cold again.
Sun
it seems a little miserable and it's hard for me to really get through every day. And that can be really challenging. And it can actually also be problematic for your immune system. Okay. And so when you're in a slump, your immune system actually suppresses a little bit and your stress levels go up. Okay. So cortisol is a regulator of stress in the body. Animals actually release cortisol. They have vitamin C in their bodies that it helps to regulate the release of cortisol as well. But their stress responses and the release of cortisol is what helps in the body to manage stressful situations. So we in our bodies, when we have stressful situations, also release cortisol. And that can be problematic if it's occurring at the wrong times or if it's occurring repeatedly over and over again. Which would be indicative of a chronic stressful event or a chronic stressful situation that you're dealing with currently.
So celebrating then, I guess, could help reduce stress.
Exactly. So then what we do is we say, okay, I'm feeling like I'm in a little bit of a slump. What are some things that I have done or can do, even though I have a challenge and maybe it's like, winter is a difficult time for you, but also your work is really demanding right now. That's stress upon stress. So how do you pull yourself out of that? You have to say, what is it in my work or what is it in my family or what is it in my personal life that I'm achieving or doing And if not currently, then you need to set some tasks out or set some goals out to say, what do I want to do? What should I accomplish today? And then as you check those things off, celebrate the fact that, hey, I did this today. That was a really good thing. And I'm going to celebrate myself.
Yeah, because in terms of my business, January is a really slow month for sales.
Right.
I think it is across the economy in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people are just paying off their credit cards after Christmas. You know, I have a seasonal business too in terms of, you know, automotive. People don't really think about cleaning their cars as much in the wintertime. So we had a good November and December, but January is a little slow and you're not seeing the sun a lot and it's cold out.
Yeah.
And it just feels different. I can't pretend it's not a different time of year.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that we have holiday parties and businesses often celebrate in this country. They have a holiday party sometime around December or January, right? And this is a time to celebrate, to recognize what we've done well in the previous year, because we have the new year coming up as well, January, right? In that calendar. And then it's also a time for us to say, what do we want to achieve in the new year? What have we achieved? Let's celebrate that. That's what the holiday party, the winter holiday party is for. And then what do we want to achieve? What are our goals going forward? So this is a very common thing in successful organizations. When you look at a successful organization and you say, what makes it successful? Well, one of the things is that the people that are running that organization and they're recognizing the benefit of seeing what they did well, celebrating it, and then projecting into the future what they want to do better.
Because my question is, how do you celebrate without resting on your laurels?
Well, for sure. You don't want to rest on your laurels. You want to always be achieving. But the way you do that is by setting new goals, being ambitious. You don't want to lose your ambition. You want to continue to achieve more. You want to continue to say, how can I become, even if it's a little step, how can I make, if we as an organization make a certain widget and it's been performing really well, okay, how can we make this a little bit better? And there are organizations, very successful organizations, that do this all the time. And it, as a reminder of how we know that they're doing this is, when do you get updates on your phone? Every time you get an update on your phone, basically it's an opportunity or it's a team that has sat down and said, how can we make this thing a little bit better? And yet my widget that I use, that's an update, you know, I get these updates on my phone, but I'm using this phone and I'm like, this is perfectly good for me. I don't know if I needed that update. I don't even know what that update's all about. You have to actually read the update to see what the improvement was half the time, right? And so there's always little things that we can do. Can we make it more user-friendly, right? From a widget standpoint.
I get that you want to constantly improve. I just don't know what the balance is between that and celebrating.
Right.
Because isn't that wasting time to celebrate when there's always more to do?
Well, absolutely it can be perceived as wasting time. And that is the workaholic's dream, right? The workaholic's dream is that we just work, work, work. There is no celebration. We just go forward. And maybe the celebration is the fact that we're going forward, right? Maybe that's how it works for a workaholic. So, but the fact of the matter is that the health of an individual who doesn't take time to recognize their successes or their achievements as well, that individual's health will suffer because their immune system to a degree is going to be suppressed and their body is not designed literally to be strung so tight like a bow. You can, if you string it too tight and then you pull, it will break. Okay. So the bow, if you keep it tuned, but you have to adjust it, you have to adjust that bow and make sure, okay, is it the right tension? And if you adjust that tension just right and you continue to monitor it, then it will fire very straight for you in the direction that you want it to go. But if you pull it too tight, you put that tension way too tight or over tense it, then what will happen is the bow will break, the string will break. And so we want to not be pushing ourselves so much to the point where we're we're bound way too tight, like that tight bow. But we need to be constantly adjusting and saying, okay, here we need to celebrate a little bit. We're going to celebrate and recognize the tension that we had to go through to achieve those shots, right? And now what we're going to do is readjust so we can actually perform again tomorrow or perform again next week. So
when should
celebration
we...
helps you. Celebration actually helps you to be more to be more efficient and to produce more, I would say.
So when should we celebrate? Because it feels like we get worse at this as we get older. We celebrate birthdays as a kid and all these different graduation and this and that. And it's like, and eventually I'm not worth celebrating as
you
get older.
We get to a point where we're like, what is this all about, right? I think that's a really good question, Nick. My one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this topic of celebrating is my own personal experience in learning the need for celebrating in my own life. And I went, when I was in my undergrad, we had a few children, my wife and I. We'd gotten married and had a few children. We went through undergrad and then we moved on to medical training. We went through medical school and we had kids going through this. And I felt like every exam that I took, that I had not just me, not just my success personally, but my entire family, three other lives were dependent on every test that I took. That's how I felt. And that was a lot of stress for me.
But that's true.
It is true. Yeah.
And sometimes I have to examine like the anxiety I'm feeling right now. Is it true? Is it based in something real? And if it is, it's like, okay, I can start there.
Like, am I stepping out into the dark? Is this a scary thing to do? Is it a challenge that's before me that I'm not sure I want to take on? Yeah, all those things are true. And then we need to decide, do we want to do it? But that's the value. That's the value in us. That's who we recognize. When we celebrate, we actually take recognition. We take a stake of saying, hey, this is who you are. You actually chose to do that, right? You actually chose to jump out of that plane, or you chose to do that medical training, or you took on that big task of learning a new topic or a new subject, or getting credentialed and being the sole provider of your family, right? Like, you learned and took that task on, and that is something worth celebrating. So when you do that, when you make those steps and you step out into the darkness, you need to also recognize and give yourself a time to do that, that, hey, that was a big step that you took. So for me, one of the things that I had to learn to do, even during school, was to celebrate. I had some friends that were actually pretty good at celebrating after exams, after really stressful periods of testing and things. They would go out to eat together, or they would do, we'd go to the beach or something like that, and they'd hang out, right? And they'd just have fun. And that was a great way of celebrating. And I remember at one point I went with my friends, and I, financially, we were in a really difficult place. And I remember struggling with the thought that I was going to buy an $8 burrito and celebrate with my buddies that we had just completed this, this course with this examination and everything in
which, if this was what, 20
class.
Years ago, like that might've been closer to like a $15 burrito now.
Yeah,
it wasn't a cheap, like $8 is like McDonald's food prices now, but
sadly, yes.
Sadly.
Yeah. This is like 20 years ago. Yes. Yeah, 20 or more. Yeah.
Could have been a $20 burrito now.
Yeah.
I mean that,
but even still,
that's a sizable chunk of cash.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and, but even if it is minuscule, and it feels like to me that it's big. So depending on where we are in our life, sometimes things seem insurmountable. And just because someone next to me could feel super easy spending that, you know, and spend it over and over and over again with no thought at all, that was a difficult thing for me. And I think that's something we have to recognize within ourselves. This is a difficult thing for me to do, but I want to do it, right? I want to do it.
So you wanted to celebrate. So tell me about this memory you were so broke and you wanted to celebrate anyway. What's the takeaway?
So then we went and we celebrated, bought this burrito, had lunch with my buddies, my friends, and it was an opportunity for us to talk about the exam, to talk about the year, to kind of process, right? We were processing what we had done. And then recognizing, remember teacher talking about different professors and instructors. And so we're talking about all these things, and it's an opportunity for us to say, we did a great job. And as we do that, we're laughing, we're enjoying each other's company. The dopamine, everything that the neurotransmitters that we talked about, that get released when you actually spend time together and you recognize or celebrate the fact that you did something that was beyond, or that was noble. You did something that was noble and something that was notable.
Well, because celebration changes the immune system.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
It does. So it changes the neurotransmitters. It releases that. It reduces our stress, and we've talked about those to this point. But our immune system, it has a significant impact on our immune response as well. And so if we take time to celebrate, we'll actually find that our immune system functions better for us. That doesn't mean necessarily that we don't have we don't have exposures. It just means that when we do have exposures, we're more resilient to fight them off. We're more resilient to move them through our bodies. And so it has actually been shown that those who don't take time to celebrate, find themselves more often in this negative self-talk or this slump of I'm not of any value or worth, right? And we need to pull ourselves up out of that by celebrating, recognizing the value that we are and that we do contribute and that we give, whether it's to our spouse, to a boyfriend, to a girlfriend, whoever that is, recognize the value that we offer. Celebrate in that first, and then take the next step, which is, can I do something more? Right?
So not just resting on your laurels.
Correct.
Because some people celebrate at the end of term or whatever, and they'll go out and party, and they'll get real drunk. So I remember, like, people celebrate. They like to party. They like to celebrate year end or end of da-da-da. So there's probably a balance there, right?
Yes. There's a balance. Celebration is important.
Partying,
and that's what we're talking about today. And it is important to kind of let yourself loose a little bit, relax, allow yourself to just say, wow, that stress is over. Right. But I do think there is a toxic celebration, and that's maybe what you're getting to. There is this level of toxic induction of stress and toxic celebration, where it's like just trying to get rid of by drinking away your stress, right? Drinking away your stress is not necessarily resting. Mm. It's not true, I would say, celebration, okay? The party, the time together, the enjoyment, enjoying each other's company, those things are true celebration. But when we're drinking our way, especially if it's to a significant degree or more, trying to chase away our stressors and our sorrows. And that's not the point of celebration. The point of celebration is to recognize that we've taken a step up on the mountain and our legs have gotten stronger, that our feet below us have gotten more firm, and that they recognize the path better. That's the point. The point of celebration is to recognize that we're now better at this. Therefore, we're capable of more. We're capable of being more. We're capable of doing more. And so then we party. Then we revel in that success. And we project ourselves into becoming a more valuable contributor. And that's the point of celebration. So that's where our goals might come into play. Say, what do I want to achieve now? What do I want to do now that I've become stronger? I can be a more reliable individual for the people around me. And now that I'm a more reliable person for the people around me, what do I want to achieve? How do I want to help them? How can I encourage them to take the steps that I'm taking? How can we climb this mountain together? And it is a community thing. It's a community thing that we're all, the more I achieve my goals, the more I lend to someone else the belief that they can achieve more in their life. And frequently people say, we want, as a president of the United States, this type of an individual, because unless we have it, we don't know that it's even possible. Have you ever heard that belief before? This has been a prevailing belief of like this idea that if we have a female as a president of the United States, then at least hopefully at some point women will know that that's a possible thing for them to do, right? For some, in some instances, it was certain ethnic groups, right? Or certain skin colors. And so there's a lot of people who take a significant amount of comfort in the fact that, hey, someone else has actually trod this road before me and they've been strong enough and I'm similar to them.
Right.
And we're all in this together in truth and reality. And so we can lift each other up and we can push each other forward and encourage each other to be more. We can benefit each other by doing that. So I have certain strategies that I like to go to move through when I talk about goals and even recognition of goals. So along the way, you talked a little bit about, well, how do I celebrate without just resting on my laurels? And how do I recognize things? Because it's not like every single little achievement you're going to have a big party for.
Right.
Right. But there has to be some way of recognizing, of celebrating your successes as you're achieving them as well. And you can actually develop this pattern or this behavior of reveling in the joy of achievement and to where your path, your walk through life becomes a celebration. Okay. Becomes joyful, becomes an expression of love, an expression of joy, like your daily work becomes an expression of joy. And that's something that I've worked on a lot is, you know, starting a practice and, you know, all the school and everything that I've talked to you about already, but starting a practice and having the stressors, you know, of a family and financial obligations and all these different things. It's like, well, how do I, apart from all the work, apart from everything that it is, how do I experience joy in that process? And I've really worked at this to have my daily work be joy. And the only way that I've been able to do it is to recognize the successes. And are there moments that are crushing to me or that I wish I could see things differently or help somebody in a different way? Yes, there are moments like that. And I have to reevaluate and assess and say, okay, how would I make this widget better, right? How would I adapt this? And my patients are my greatest teachers. And I have to recognize in a very joyful manner that they are my teachers, right? And they wouldn't be my teachers if it wasn't for the opportunities that they give me to fail, okay? So yeah, I see moments and I go, man, that didn't work like I had hoped. What's going on here? Then I have to go through, rework the widget, see if we can figure out a different approach. And that process has to become joyful for us. Here's an opportunity for me to improve. So when I look at goal setting in general, I like to do what we call, this is a very common thing. People have probably heard of this, but if you haven't, I would suggest writing this down, SMART goals.
Okay.
SMART goals. SMART meaning S for specific. You want the goal to be specific. What do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? Make a specific goal. Then it needs to be measurable. Okay. How do I know I've achieved that goal? Okay. How am I going to measure that? And if I can measure it, then I can actually break it down to smaller pieces if I need to, depending on the size of the goal. Okay. Now, I mentioned size of the goal because oftentimes people shoot to the moon and it's maybe not quite achievable or maybe not quite achievable in the near future. So they have a difficult time actually keeping it on their plate as a goal. Okay. So you want it to be achievable. You also want it to be realistic. And then lastly, you want it to be timely. So when I say to achieve goals, to set goals, you want to be setting goals that you're going to be accomplishing with a reasonable amount of time. Okay. And you can put things, ideal things, thoughts, visions into the future that are way into the future, and that's fine. But I wouldn't necessarily call that a goal. That might be your objective. That's more of a point that you're moving towards. And some of your goals might change that along the way. And more often than not, whatever that objective or that vision, it gets better.
Okay.
Okay. I know it's getting a little warm in here, isn't it? You doing
good.
Okay?
Doing
okay.
Good.
Are we good? All right. And then lastly, with the goals, is the evaluation period. Like, this is how you can celebrate your successes along the way. But you say, okay, I've set these goals out. Now I need to be evaluating. Okay. Let's think of, I call it the 3-2-1 process or the 1-1-1 process. Okay. So let's think of three things. Let's think of three things that I'm doing really well. What are three things that I'm doing really well that are going to help me get to this goal? Great. Let's write those out. Recognize those first. Let's think of two things that I need to improve on to get to this goal. Okay, great. Now let's think of one thing that I'm going to change right now or in the immediate future to get to that goal. And that's your constant reevaluation, right? So then your reevaluation
is... I like that, the 3-2-1.
Yeah, and it's focused on what you're doing well, right? It's focused on the fact that you're contributing to society and that you're working in a very beneficent contributing manner to get to your goal. And it's not so focused on like, okay, what are all the things that we're doing wrong? No, we're only going to allow, what are two things that you could improve on? And then only working on one thing at a time. Let's just work on one thing at a time to actually change. 3-2-1, or just make it 1-1-1. What's one thing I'm doing well, one thing I could improve, and one thing I'm going to change in the immediate future. So do it either way that works for you. I like 3-2-1. But this is a way to get the neurotransmitters in your body working for you. Get the people often refer to or have referred to, even though there is some discussion and debate in the world of psychology about it, but they've referred to mental health concerns, depression, as a chemical imbalance, right? And so this is a way, essentially, if we look at it with that from that theory, from that idea, this is a way of balancing the chemicals within the brain. Celebrate your successes.
How does that relate to gratitude?
Ooh, I like that you asked that question. So being grateful, gratitude, and we had a wonderful conversation a couple months. We did that in November, right? Gratitude is an incredible tool that does a very similar thing for us to release endorphins in our body, to help us to recognize the benefits, the beneficial things that are around us, right? To recognize the beauty that's been given to us and the space that we live in. So this is very, very relational to gratitude, because what you'll do when you recognize who you are, is you then become a little bit more grateful for what you've done for yourself. You actually have some grace with yourself, right? It allows gratitude, you looking at, having an assessment, recognizing what you've done, recognizing where you can improve. You have some gratitude for who you are, what you've done, and then allow yourself grace moving forward.
Love that. Love that we're under 30 minutes in this podcast as well.
That was right on time. That was pretty good.
And celebrating the gift of time that others have given us.
Yeah. So thank you very much. We're celebrating that today.
We hope this episode inspires you to embrace and celebrate your successes for the sake of your health and happiness.
Absolutely. We're so glad that you joined us today. And we hope that this episode inspires you to embrace and celebrate your success for the sake of your health.
Be well now. Namaste.
Namaste.